Okay, Rabbi said today's daf is daf Yud Dalid. We're holding at the Mishnah towards the top of the Amud. And now the Mishnah tells us, like we've been learning the last few days, that although the Torah permits us to do work on Yontif, which is Malechas Oichel Nefesh, however, if it's the type of Machshirim that you can go and prepare before Yontif, then don't do it on Yontif. You can do it before Yontif. And so the Mishnah now tells us specifically about preparing spices and salt for cooking on Yontif. And we have Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Zok the Mishnah. Beis Shammai Oimrin, Tavlin Nidoinin Nidoichin, B'modoich Shel Eitz, V'hamelach Bepach, U'Beitz HaPorur. As we'll see in a moment from Beis Hillel, normally when they used to go and crush and pound the ingredients for the seasonings, for the spices, the Gemara is going to tell us they used to use a machteshes ketana, as opposed to, for larger items, a machteshes gedola. Machteshes simply means a mill or a grinding machine to grind and to pound the various food items. So, what was the machteshes ketana which was used for the tablet, used for the spices? What was it made out of? So we'll see momentarily from Beis Hillel, they used a pestle and mortar, which was made out of stone. Made out of stone. Both the pestle, is the thing that you use to stoich, to pound, and the receptacle, the mortar, both of them are made out of stone. That's under normal circumstances. Beis Shammai Omrim, if it's tavlin, don't use the one, the mortar and pestle made out of stone, but rather go and use one made out of eitz, made out of wood. That's already a shinoi. The purpose of the shinoi is to go and show Rabbi Yisai that it's yontif. Can't go and do your normal regular malachas on yontif. That would be a malacha of dosh or mafarik. So bishami omen tavlin nidoichim mother shalait, use one made out of wood. That's if you're dealing with tavlin. Tavlin meaning spices. V'amelach, we're talking about salt, which you also have to pound. Why would you have to go pound salt? After all, salt is just like a very fine, just like sand. So Rashi said we're talking about melach gasa, which is thick clumps of
coarse,
or very coarse salt, and therefore you have to go and pound it to make it into fine salt. So v'amelach, there too you have to use a shinoi, but here the shinoi has a much greater shinoi. Not only can you not use your normal pestle and mortar made out of stone, you can't even use the one made out of eitz, out of wood, but rather you have to use the pach. Rashi said the pach means that the mortar, that's a receptacle, is made out of cheres. Cheres means out of earthenware. And the pounder, the pestle, you got to use the eitz haporur. Eitz haporur is not your normal pestle. It's a kaf gedoyle. It's like a large ladle that you would use for soup. That's what you have to use for pounding. So you see, when it comes to melach, is a much, much greater degree of shinoi than the case of tavlin. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, holds, or Beis Hillel Amrim, tavlin nidoichin kedarkon b'modach shalevin. Normal, everything like you always do tavlin, no change whatsoever. Use your normal mortar and pestle made out of stone. But a melach, I agree with you, Beis Shammai, you have to make a shinoi, but not this major shinoi of using a ladle and using an earthenware type of receptacle, but rather the modach shalevin, like Beis Shammai said for the tavlin. Here, Beis Hillel uses that for the melach.
There's no concern that the spices or the melach with the wood, you know, becomes part of the wood, whereas with stone, it doesn't marry the stone. It just, you can use it as a tool and
what does it matter if it adheres to the wood?
I don't know if there's a melach that's being violated, that the tavlin or the salt would become part of the wood.
No problem. So now we have Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and in the case of the tavlin, note the Beis Hillel says no shinui is required whatsoever. Beis Shammai says a modest shinui, not a big shinui, a modest shinui.
Why is salt more chomer than spices?
Why is salt more chomer? So the question that you are asking is the question of the Gemara as soon as we're going to start the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to give two solid reasons. But in the meantime, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have a machloikis lagabi tavlin, whether you need any shinoi, but Beis Shammai says yes, Beis Hillel says nothing. Lagabi melach, they both agree you need a shinoi, the only question is the degree of shinoi. But as Robert had just pointed out, kuli alma moide that melach is more chomor than tavlin. And the question is why? Manishtan. So Kimar, the kuli alma, everybody, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel hold me yes that melach, ba yeshinoi. Melach requires a shinoi. Goodbye tavlin. According to Beis Hillel, you don't need a shinoi at all. My time, what's the reason? So Rav Huna Rav Chizo Chad Omar Kol Hakadeiros Kulon Tzrichos Melach Ve'en Kol Hakadeiros Tzrichos Tavlin. No matter what you cook, you always have to add a little bit of salt. Maybe not 100%, but 95% of the things that you cook, whatever it happens to be, whether it's fish, whether it's flesh, whether it's soup, whether it's this, you always add salt. But as far as the tavlin and spices, it depends. There may be spices that you have in your spices shelf that you don't use for 3 months because the type of foods that you're cooking don't require that particular type of tavlin. So tavlin is the kind of thing that you use frequently, but not as frequently as salt. So what's the nafkimina? So says Rashi, so it should have occurred to you from Erev Yontif to go and pound and crush the salt into small particles. Fus faltachan, how come you wake up on Yontif morning? Oh, I didn't do the salt. You know you always need salt. Come on, everybody needs salt every day. But the tavlin, I didn't expect to use black pepper today or paprika or garlic powder. I didn't realize, you know, I didn't know we were going to make X, Y, and Z. If you look at the first Rashi right here, so the Mishnah Kolak Deiros Kol Mine Tavshel Tzrichos Melach, any type of food item requires salt. Hilchach Mei Esmol Havi Yodidi Boilei Meduchai. You should have realized yesterday. So that's the general rule when you're talking about Machshirei Oichel Nefesh, anything that can be done Erev Yontif, do it in Erev Yontif. You didn't do an Erev Yontif. Both of them agree you have to do it with a shinoi. That's the first svara. Chadom, the other, gives an equally very valid answer. Kolatavlin mefigin tamon, umelach enam mefiga tamon. Melach you can store for long periods of time, and it doesn't lose its salty taste. You pounded it and you made it into fine salt, you leave it there on the shelf. A month later, it still tastes as salty as it tastes today. However, when you're talking about other types of spices, they have a very limited shelf space, or shelf life, I should say, shelf life. And therefore, if you're going to go an Erev Yomtev, pound the spices and make them into fine spices to put inside your various foods, by the time that 24 hours later, Mefikatama, they've already lost a lot of that flavor and taste enhancement. That's just the way, the nature of things. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu created spices, that the spice doesn't last as long as the salt. So therefore, just like we allow people to go and cook and to go and shecht and to bake on Yontif, because you want it to be fresh for covered Yontif, so the tavlin you can also make fresh for covered Yontif, and that's why Beis Hillel says you don't have to make any shinui at all. Just like you allow to shecht without a shinui, don't make any shinui when you're shechting the animal, otherwise it's going to be an avela. Don't make any shinui in the gabi tavlin, no problem. However, Beis Shammai says epesa shinui k'tzas, you still have to make. Frank Dimar, Mai Benai L'Chayr, both reasons are excellent, solid reasons. Mara gives two nachkimenes. Number one, ikibenayu the yoda mike deira boy levishule. The day before, the one who's doing the cooking had a full schedule and a full menu all set out for the next 3 days. Yomtim, the kolamoyd, and everything. They know exactly what they're going to go and cook the next day. No, if you knew, why didn't you make sure that you pounded and you crushed your paprika and your garlic powder and your onion powder and whatever ingredients, whatever spices you're going to? You knew. So therefore, says Gemara, that is like the first reason that we gave. What's the reason why we gave the first reason? We know that all kedetas require melach. Not all kedetas require tavlin. Yeah, but this kedeta that I'm cooking tomorrow is going to require the tavlin. I should have known. Oh, so therefore that would be the nafkimina. That according to the first reason, then the tavlin should require a shinui, because you should have done it yesterday. According to the second reason, I know I need those tavlin, but I didn't want them to be mefig and tavlin. I still wanted them to be flavor enhancers. They should be sharp and strong. I didn't want them to be weak. And therefore that's why he didn't do it yesterday. So that's terrace number one. Inami b'morika. Morika in English is called saffron. I don't know what saffron is, except a famous rabbi saffron I know, but I don't know what the spice is. But
holy saffron.
Holy saffron, okay. Taka, this one that we know is a holy saffron. Anyway, so what's the mass amid the morika? Here Rashi says it's the other way around. This type of saffron, this type of spice, does not lose its taste. It remains, or doesn't lose its flavor. The flavor remains intact, strong, whatever taste buds or flavors it has, remains intact the next day. However, it's talking about that he didn't know that he's going to need the saffron. Okay, saffron. So you see a picture of it. You know what it looks like? Do you know what you... Do you ever use it at home?
Like an orange? Okay. Like a bright orange. Yeah, a bright orange yellow color.
It's very
expensive. Right. Nah,
here, a picture over here from the...
Google.
Yeah, it's good? You like it?
Sure.
You use it
home. Use Indian food.
Fresh saffron comes in a little string.
Ah, okay. Yeah, they have a picture of him. It's strings.
I'm
not familiar either. But anyway, so whenever you have it, please think about us and have this in mind. Think about this Gemara
all the time. Bring in a little pizza. Put on pizza.
Pizza? Oh,
bring
good. Very good. Yeah. What's pizza? That's the round thing that they have with the cheese and stuff, right? Ah, okay.
And tomatoes.
Good. Anyway, Inami Marika, this saffron, says Rashi, does not lose its taste. It stays intact. However, he didn't know that he's going to go and cook with Marika the next morning. So now, the Ikka Benawi is now in reverse. What was the first reason? Because all of the Kedairas require Melach, and this Kedaira, he didn't know he was going to require Tavlin. He didn't know he was going to require Marika. That's why he doesn't have to make the Shinui according to Beis Hillel at all. According to Beis Shammai, a very modest Shinui. According to the second reason, called Tavlin, Mefig and Tavlin, Melech ain't Mefig and Tavlin, saffron is also not Mefig Tavlin. So you should have pounded it the day before. You don't lose anything by pounding your saffron. It has a long shelf life. On the other hand, I didn't know I was going to need it. The last time I used saffron was a month ago, or a year ago, or never. Good. So, you have two nachtos. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmur. Now, Rav Yehuda Mishmur says something which l'choira is inconsistent with our Mishnah. And Rav Yehuda Mishmur, remember, we're talking about Amiroyim here. What did Shmuel say? When it comes Yontif, you can go and pound away all of the spices, even salt, kidarka, like normal, gunished. So tomorrow, how could that be? For Amos, when we learned the Mishnah, we said according to everybody, even according to Beis Hillel, Melach by Shinoi, the Shmuel argue with Beis Hillel. Evdimar, who the Omer ki haitan? No. Shmuel found another Tana, a Braisa, which is different than our Mishnah. What does it say in the Braisa? Decide. Omer Amei. Loi nechleku Beis Shammai uBeis Hillel al hanidoichin shenidoichin kidarkon uMelach imohen. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree about spices and Melach imohen. You can do without any Shinoi. Now what does it mean uMelach imohen? So from Rashi it sounds like that you go and pound them together. See, if you look Rashi about 4 or 5 lines above where we are in the Gemara, the Rashi says imohem melach v'tavlin ke'echad. In other words, when you're pounding your spices, you're pounding both the melach and the tavlin at the same time, simultaneously. That's Rashi on the surface. But notice there's a dalit by the ke'echad, or maybe you have an asterisk, and the dalit comes from the Masoreis Hashas, and he says pirish. He doesn't mean simultaneously. He means consecutively, sequentially, contemporaneously, and finish with the spices. Now I use the melech. When you're doing that on Yontif morning, everybody agrees. Bishamay, so you do it kedarkan, even melech. You see already that this is different than our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, according to everybody, melech requires some shinut. So where's the machleik Bishamay Beis Hillel? To go and crush and pound the salt on its own. Like we had in our Mishnah. Pach means you don't go and use your normal mortar and pestle, but the receptacle that you use underneath is made out of earthenware. And be'etzapor, the thing that you pound with, is not the pestle. You go and pound with a ladle, a large ladle, large scoop. You pound with that. So that's a major shinut. Number two, says Beis Shammai, there's another difference, and that is letzli avaleda kdeya. You have to do modest amounts, minimal amounts of going and pounding salt on yom. How much salt? The salt that you would normally need for tzli, for roasting, but not for cooking. And as we had already a couple of days in the Gemara, when it comes to tzli, min ekar hadin, you've now shechted an animal, and you have the blood in the all of the pieces of meat, you have to extract that blood. So we know that you do that by kashering, by going and spreading out salt, and you have to have a special rate, a special strain, that it will, that the blood will
drain.
A drain, not a strain, a drain, thank you. I'm straining for the right term, and it's the drain. So that's what you have to do if you're salting it to cook. If, however, you're salting the meat to roast, then you don't need to salt it, because the roasting inside the oven, that will draw out the blood on its own. Nevertheless, the custom is one does put a modest amount of salt on the top and the bottom to help out in the extracting and the flowing, the oozing of the blood. So it says, Beis Shammai, you know the amount of salt that you'll add a pound on Yom Tov? A modest amount, let's leave, but not for today. Or Beis Hillel Amrim, Beis Hillel only addresses the tzli avaloi lekteya. And Beis Hillel says, b'chol davar, with anything, with everything. What do you mean, with anything, with everything? B'chol davar selka taitach. So Rashi says, are you talking about even a kli which is malachta li isur? You can use that as well, something which is mukta. A davar she'ein nitl b'shabbat. Ele'eima not b'chol davar, not l'chol davar. B'chol davar means not only, like Beis Shammai said, for tzli, but for kedera as well. In other words, you're allowed to go and pound large amounts of salt on Yom Tov. Now, the only machlokes that I see here at the end of this brisa is regabi the halach of litzli avaloi lekedera. The Beis Shammai says modest amount. Beis Hillel says even large amounts. Whatever amount of salt you need, you can't go and start going and pounding 25 pounds of salt. But whatever you need for Yom Tov, even if it's lekedera, no problem. But Rashi says, by the fact that Beis Hillel only argues on that point, why didn't Beis Hillel also address the earlier point of Beis Shammai, the melach bepachu be'etzaporor? So Zeitzecho says, Rashi, that Beis Hillel was relying on what he said at the beginning of the Braisa. That at the beginning of the Braisa we said, le'nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al nidoichen shi nidoichen kedarkan a melach imoed. That even melach, you can go and be nidoich kedarkoi. No change is needed whatsoever. Zero. Says Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, this Braisa obviously argues with our Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, even Beis Hillel required for Melach a shinui tzas, some sort of shin. By Tavlin, Beis Hillel said zero, kedarkoi. Melach aklenshiga, a small amount of shinui. However, a mayor in this price has said that between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is no machloikis, that even melach he can go and do kedarkon. The only time that we get to a machloikis is going to be melach on its own and what the shiur is. That Beis Shammai holds melach on its own, you have to do this major shinoi. Beis Hillel said, no, I already told you a moment ago, no shinoi, not by tavlin, not by melach, zero. So what's machloek Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel if it's melach on its own? The amount. Where according to Beis Shammai, minimal amounts for tzli, and Beis Hillel says maximum amounts even for cooking. So based on this, Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel says, I follow the braisa, that everybody agrees that even by melach, not everybody agrees, but according to Beis Hillel, by melach you do not need to make any change. Of course, we pass along Beis Hillel, but machloek Beis Shammai, and therefore no change is necessary for doing salt even on its own.
So we have our Mishnah, then we have the Braisa. The Braisa only talks about Reb Meir.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Bar Kutta here.
Correct.
It's just Reb Meir. So
either Rebbe or Reb Yehuda, whoever the Tana is of our Braisa, he had a different Mesora as what the Machlek is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and Shmuel favored the one that was codified in the Braisa. Now the Gemara tells us a story. A story of a halacha. Omni Rav Acha Bardla lebrei. Rav Acha Bardla told his son, "Ki daiches atzli atzluye v'doich." Says Rav Acha Bardla, "I agree with Shmuel. you can go and take your normal mortar and pestle for purposes of both salt and tavlin. No change. No change in terms of the instruments that you're using. But do make a change in the way you're pounding. How? Don't do it normally vertical pound down below. Just keep on pounding or crushing. But do it at an angle. Do it at a 30 degree angle. So people should see it's yontif that you're doing epsashtiko shinoi. So you're not using a different mortar and pestle than daily, but you're doing it in a different way by doing it at an angle. Rav Sheshes shoma kol buchna. Rav Sheshes was going in the street and he heard somewhere in the town that they were banging on yontif, and he noted that this banging was a pounding of salt. Omar, he said, "Hai lam migavi de bisoye." That's not taking place in my home. In my home, they wouldn't be pounding salt like that yontif morning. Frey tomorrow, why not? Dilma atzluye atzli. Maybe they were doing it like if Acha Bardla told his son, "You're allowed to pound salt, but make sure you're doing it at an angle." He heard that it was a crystal clear noise, like the type of noise that you would hear on a daily basis. If you're doing it at an angle, since you're not able to pound it normally, just going straight down vertically, you have to do it at an angle, automatically it has a different cling to it, and therefore he knew, no, that's not the way we do it in our home. Pray tomorrow. Maybe it was tavlin and he holds like Basil, and Basil holds you don't need any shino at all, and maybe that pounding was absolutely halachically authorized. It was tavlin, according to Basil, according to everybody, according to Basil, you do it kedarkoi. So what's the problem? Tavlin nevuchei menabach kalai. The word nabach is usually referring to a dog barking. He's menabach. Here we're saying that when you go and pound spices, it usually makes Rice Krispies snap, crackle, and pop. You hear little sounds.
So his hearing was very acute.
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing. So we were thinking on the same line over here. What Barry's pointing out, that if Sheshes unfortunately was blind, he's a Saginor, and so therefore his hearing was excellent, and he said that noise that I hear, that's not in my house, that's somebody else's house. Because in my house they wouldn't allow that on Yontif, because they would do it either at the Shinoi, or perhaps if Sheshes would hold like the Mishnah, that you have to do Marach Shaleitz and not Shaleven, and he heard that it sounded like your normal pounding, so maybe it was Tavlin. Tavlin, I've heard that snap, crackle, and pop. I would have heard that popping when you bang the tablet. I didn't hear anything, so it must be Melech, etc. Tana Rabbanan. Now we go on from tavlin, from spices, and from melach to other matters, or to other foods. Tana Rabbanan, in oisin tisni, in kochin b'machteshes. Now tisni, explains Rashi, is when you take kernels of wheat and you crush them to make out of it something for a farina type of food. Now, we've had this in the past, that when you go and take the chitim, the kernels, and you pound them to make such a cereal, such a farina, that you could do it in a more coarse fashion, and you could do it in very, very fine fashion. Meaning, explains Rashi, that you can go and be mechalik into two, take your kernel of wheat, pound it until it divides up into two portions, two pieces. You could do it into three, and you could do it into four. The names for the two, three, and four. Two is you make daisa. Even today they refer to farina as daisa in Eretz Yisrael. Three is tragis, or targis, from Russian of trio, right? And then number three is tisni. Tisni means that they divide it into four pieces. That means you're doing it in a very refined way, or at least you're ending up with a refined product, because it's not just crushed into two or three, but into four separate particles, four separate parts. So that requires a fair amount of tircha. So says Rashi, they were not matir that tirach godoil on yontif. You want to have such a farina? Do it from the day before. Or just make the double, the two parts. Just the daisa. Don't make tisni. Tisni is a very similar. So do it the day before, do it erev yontif. And the encoached machteshes. And you cannot use your normal, machteshes means such a normal mortar and pestle grinding machine, a mill. You can't use that. Now the Gemara asks, Tarti, l'chayre, these two halachas are inconsistent with one another. Why are they inconsistent? Because if you're talking about tisni, then you don't talk about your machteshes. Why not? Avad, you do use a machteshes, you use your normal mortar pestle for pounding the tisnik, that's for sure. However, once you use the expression in kosher machteshes, that sounds like for nothing. You can't use it for anything. And if you can't use it for anything, that means you can't go use it for the daisa, and you can't use it for the tragis. You can only use it for the tisni. No, you can't even use it for the tisni either. So what the Gemara really is bothered by saying in kosher machteshes, that sounds like it's a much broader issur than just saying enois and tisni. And therefore, the chayit would be enough to just simply say in kosher machteshes, don't use the machteshes, this mill, on yontif at all. Zero. Enois and tisni says, tisni you're not allowed to make, but you are allowed to make the other stuff. I mean, just say then kosher machteshes. Tarti is not just you're asking, you're saying double, but these two are contradictory. Every mohachikok. What he means to say is, ma tam ein oisin tisni lefin shein koichim machteshes. And he's really just giving an explanation. It's one Allah. You know why you shouldn't make tisni? Because you shouldn't be koichim machteshes. Frankly, Mark, if that's what you want to tell us, well, ain't in koichim machteshes. Just simply say, don't use machteshes, period. You don't have to tell me about tisni. Says he, Mark, eat honey ein koichim machteshes, have a mina honey mina machteshes gidoyla. I would think you cannot use a large machteshes. A machteshes katana, a mashapir dami, kamashvala. What's the difference between machteshes gedoyla, machteshes katana? Machteshes gedoyla was used for large food items, like taking kernels of wheat and crushing them and smashing them to make from them into such a farina, such a very fine type of wheat, not mamish flour, because we're not talking about baking, but also making something much more fine. So you use machteshes gedoyla, large. Machteshes katana was typically used for spice. The spice is only put a little spice. Right? You can have a very large stew, a large chulun, whatever. You only put a little bit of spice. You have to put in big potatoes or big chulun beans or a big piece of meat, barley, whatever you put into your chulun. But you don't have to put in tons and tons of spices. A little bit. So spice is enough machteshes katana. It says the Gemara, I would think if we would say in kosher machteshes, you cannot produce tisni in a machteshes gedoyla because there's no shinui involved. But if you use a machteshes katana, which a normal person wouldn't go and take kernels of wheat and go and try to smash them in a machteshes katana, it's not practical and it's not going to do a good job because since it's such a small little vessel, and guess what? It won't be such a refined product. It's going to come out coarse, like you said before, and it's going to take much more effort and much more. So I would think that is prohibited. I would think that's okay. Kamash Mulan, that's the reason why I go and tell you you cannot go and make tisni, to tell you that you cannot even use Makhteshes Ketana. You can't use it at all. Zero. Frank Dimara, that's the pshat and the price. You are allowed to. You just said now that the reason why it says in that previous halacha that ain in the price that ain kochim machdash is to tell you that you cannot use either gedoyla or a ketana, zero. But this price says you cannot use a gedoyla, but you can use a ketana. So now we have a steer of the two prices. One says you cannot use a ketana. The other one says you can use a ketana. And because of that Amar Abaye, you know what? Forget about the first teretz that we gave. The first teretz that we gave was Ma Tam Ka'amar. What's the reason why you can't use tisni? Because you cannot use a machteshes. And you ask them to just say, can't use a machteshes. If you just say, can't use a machteshes, I would think just machteshes gedoyla. I would think you can use machteshes katana. That's why we have the double. And you know, tisni, then we call you machteshes. You cannot use any type of machteshes. Whether it's gedoyla, whether it's katana. Here it says you are allowed to use a ketana. So the matam ka'omar, that teretz falls away.
It actually makes a lot of sense though. You don't use tisni because you don't use a machteshes gedola. You bring the word gedola after that tana rabbanan, it makes a lot of sense. Ain't no tisni, matam, don't use machteshes gedola, which is the only way you can make tisni.
What about machteshes ketana?
And that machteshes ketana used for spices, that's mutter.
Are you allowed to go and use machteshes ketana for tisni?
No, because it doesn't work. Not because it's not practical.
Fine. But the second braisa says you can't use, you can use machteshes ketana. Ein kosher machteshes gedoyla, presumably those things that you are kodesh.
Appropriate.
Machteshes gedoyla, appropriate foods, that you cannot, but you could do in machteshes ketana. Why? Because that's a shinui. So Gemara is saying is, make up your mind. The first braisa seems to prohibit all machteshes, including tana, and the second braisa says the machteshes of tana is okay.
So you're saying so grinding it in a small katana would be the shinoi. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
No problem. In fact, if we look at the Rashi, five lines from the bottom, Av koichim b'ktana, the havi kelachiyah, the ena el letablet. Koichim b'ktana.
I see.
And machtesh ktana is only made.
This is imperfect because it's so imperfect. So it's a shinui.
Exactly.
Okay.
Anyway, so the Gemara says, but I see from the second braisa you don't need that shinui, and therefore says Abaye, abandon the first teretz of the matan. Kitanya nam masisa machteshes gedoyla. Tanya. That first price is talking machteshes gedoyla and says don't make a machteshes gedoyla. You can't go and grind with machteshes gedoyla. You are allowed to go and pound and crush with the machteshes gedoyla. That is permissible, just like the second price. So why does it say ein oisin tisni? Says Rashi, the ein oisin tisni is to tell you, in no way, shape, or form are you allowed to use tisni, whether it's a machteshes gedoyla or a machteshes katana. Tisni is off the charts.
Why?
Why? Because you have to exert lots of tircha to make tisni. You're taking a kernel of wheat and you have to divide it into four separate parts. If you want to just make it into two parts or three parts, no, nishkefer. But to make it into four parts, you got to pound away for minutes and hours. It's a grace of tircha. As Rashi gives it for you. If you look at the last Rashi, Kitani Nam Masis, the last four lines. Till the L, we go back to the first braisa that we had before. Machtesh gedoyla tanya, only machtesh gedoyla. Loi teima matam kam. Don't learn like we learned initially that it's giving a reason. El etarati k'toni, the two separate halachas. Halacha number one, what kam? Ein oisin tisni klal afilim b'ktana, zero. Goodish. Why? Because of the tremendous malacha the tircha. See the second wide line of Rashi. Ein oisin tisni. Says Rashi beyond it, she toirach gadol hu, she koitish achitim at she nechlokim echad li arba'a. You gotta put in lots of effort. Beyond it, that's prohibited. Getting back to this Rashi down below, so therefore ein oisin ketitzni ketchal afal v'tan. And halacha number two, vein koitchin shar ketishes v'machteshes ki going dice. So we're only doing it into two pieces and not four. Ustam machteshes v'gdoyla kamayri. So you cannot use the gdoyla. You can use a katana, even though using the katana is going to be slightly more tircha, but it will make a shinoi, because you don't usually use a katana for wheat. You usually only use it for spices or for salt. So that was teretz number one, that the first braisa says don't do tisni in any way, shape, or form, and don't use a machteshes gedoyla, and therefore the two braisas are consistent. Rava Amar Loi Kasha, really the Kasha Nishka Kasha. We can go back to the original pshat of Ma Tam Kama. And what's the reason why you cannot make this thing? Because you're not allowed to use a machteshes. Yeah, but what type of machteshes? So what was the original pshat in the Gemara? You can't use any machteshes, gedoyla or ketana. But the second braisa says you can use a ketana. Says Gemara, Loi Kasha Halon V'Halu. It depends on whether you're talking about in Eretz Yisrael or you're talking about in Chutz Laaretz. What's the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz? In Eretz Yisrael, they had avodim, says Rashi, demizalzali. In other words, the kitchen help were not reliable. They were dishonest. Masha'en Keng and other places either didn't have the kitchen help, or they had avodim that were not dishonest. They were reliable. What's the nafkimina? The nafkimina is, if you have a reliable servant, a reliable slave, help, that's helping you at home, and you go and tell them to do X, Y, and Z, they're not going to go and budge from what they told you. X, Y, and Z. You can only use machteshes ketana, no problem. If that's the rule, I'm going to use only machteshes ketana. However, if you have avodim de mezalzali, when you're out in shul and you told them in advance, make sure you use machteshes ketana, you're sure, of course. Yeah. And then you come home and you find out, or you don't find out, because they actually use a gdoyla, because gdoyla goes much quicker and does a better job. They didn't do a shinoi. And then you come home and you think, oh yeah, of course I use it, just like you told me. You see, the ketana's here in the dishwasher. I just washed it out because we just use it. And he actually used his gdoyla. So therefore, the first braisa is talking about a place where the avodim are bad guys. You cannot rely on them. That being the case, you have to aser everything. You're now going to be kodesh, big gedola or big tana. Zero. The other brisa said machtesh gedola you can use. You can't use machtesh katana. Well, you can rely on the kitchen help that they're not going to go and play games. If you tell them katana, only going to do katana.
Where was it permitted and where was it prohibited?
Okay, so let's look at the top choices. Rava Amar lo'ila matam kama b'shem k'tisha le'sharia v'afilu b'katana. Even a katana is prohibited. Where? Oh, my lehuv the bnei Eretz Yisrael. Sheish lamavodim shemizalzalem bedaver kach pirush v'kuntres. Rashi says that, but in the Tosis says it a little bit more clearly that in Eretz Yisrael they had the bad avodim. You couldn't rely on them because they played games. They said, "Yeah, we use the katana." They actually used the toila, and therefore you had to prohibit all machtoshes across the board. But in Bavel, either they didn't have avodim or they had avodim that were reliable and were honest. Says the Gemara, Rav Papi Ikl Lebei Bar Shmuel. He came to Bei Mar Shmuel on Yontif, Aisle Daisa, Borom Daisa, to eat. Lei Ochal, and he didn't want to partake from the Daisa. Now remember, Daisa is not Tisni, it's just Daisa. Why didn't he want to eat? L'choyre, the reason why he didn't want to eat, because he assumed that it was produced in a Machteshes Gedoyle. And we said Machteshes Gedoyle, he can't use at all. A machteshes katana you can use except for tisni, right? Tisni you can't do in anything. Tisni very big tircha. However, machteshes gedoyla you cannot use at all either, even for daisa. But they brought him daisa and he didn't eat. Maybe they did it in a machteshes katana, and this is in Bavel where the help is reliable and honest, and so therefore why didn't they want to eat? He saw they did too much of a good job on this daisa, and therefore he saw it must have been made in a machteshes gedoyla, because a machteshes katana it never comes out so fine. It would come out much more coarse, because after all, machteshes katana is not made for wheat kernels; it's made for little slices, for davlin. So he saw it's too good. Maybe they did this already from Erev Yontif, and then no problem. He saw that it was just too white and too fresh. He knew that it couldn't have been from yesterday. From yesterday it would have been brown or dark, a dark complexion. It's brand new. He had such a vote from Eretz Yisrael that died that you couldn't rely on them. And unfortunately, they would say X and they really did Y. They said that we did it in the Ketana, and they really didn't Gdoyle, and therefore I just can't rely on them, and that's why I didn't want it.
There's a tension though between you don't want too much tircha on Yontif, but you can't use the most efficient kalim.
Correct.
So there's a tension here. So
what are we trying to accomplish?
Exactly. If you're making it, if you're making a shinoi,
you feel that tension.
If you're making a shinoi, you're making it more difficult to process the food. If you don't want tircha, use the right kalim and do it easy. And if it's
Go to a shinoi.
Yeah, you got it. And the answer is that if the first yontif, when I'm crushing my kernels of wheat, I use a machteshes katana, and I said, guess what? The next time it comes yontif, I'm going to remember to do it the day before because I remember. Exactly, because I remember how.
This incentivizes people to do things merry yontif.
Exactly, exactly.
Even if you can lose the top, it's tasty,
but
it's going to be crushed.
So, that Gabi Tavlin is not a problem. That spices, remember, they still hold. You can use, you can do it any way, shape, or form. Tavlin, Veshin, Kedarkan, like normal, so therefore you don't have that problem. What we've been talking about for the last couple of minutes is, for instance, doing the pounding of the wheat. And apparently there you don't lose the flavor in 24 hours. So you tell the guy, you're going to have to work hard if you want to do the pounding on Yom Tov itself. Okay, I'll learn my lesson. Next time I'll do it from there. Talking more about Dr. Mishnah. A person who wants to go and select kidneys, meaning that the kidneys, the beans, didn't come in nice plastic bags like you get today. They were still full of chaff or full of peels or full of shells or whatever that a person wants to dispose of and doesn't want to use. So what do you do? So this is the classic borer type of situation. Says the thought of the Mishnah, borer kidneys beyond, if you want to go and choose the good ones. And we'll see Mitchum tomorrow morning. Excellent. So Abayr Kidneys Biyantiv. Yes, Hashem, I get to show. So Abayr Kidneys Biyantiv, you went and chose your Kidneys on Yantiv. Meshami Oymen, Boyer Oichel, Vi Oichel. what you should do is, since you have a mixture of kidneys, which is the ochel, you have a mixture of shells and peels and chaff, whatever, which is the psoles, choose the ochel, and then you can eat it. You can go be buried any way you want, and therefore, says Rashi, even in a situation where you're talking about taking the psoles from the ochel, it's not Rashi in the Mishnah, we'll see Mishnah in the Gemara, you can go and take the psoles from the ochel, you don't have to take davka like the Tanakhama said, ochel from the psoles, you even take the psoles from the ochel, like you would normally do throughout the week. When you normally go and remove, you don't remove the watermelon from the pits, as we heard yesterday from Barry. Today we don't have this issue anymore because most of our watermelons are seedless, so you don't take the watermelon out of the pits, you take the pits out of the watermelon. So you can take the psoilus from the oichel without a problem, and you can do it b'cheikoi, b'kinoin, u'betamchoi. Cheikoi would be in your lap. Kinoin v'tamchoi are plates where you would go and accumulate the psoilus that you're going to get rid of. Don't use these sophisticated sieves that you would normally use during the week, because again, you want to make a shinoi, so you can put it on your regular plate, but don't put it in your normal filter or normal sieve, etc. Rabbi Gamliel has tremendous makel in our Mishnah, and he says what you can do is you have the kidneys that have all of this chaff around it, put it into a kli full of water. The chaff is going to rise to the top. The kidneys will settle to the bottom. And that'll be the best way of doing your selection. You don't have to go and pick and choose. Just put in the water, it'll do its own. Tanya. Omram Gamliel. Pamed Vamamurim. Ram Gamliel is going back on the beginning of the Mishnah where Beis Hillel said, Borer Kedarkoi. And we explain Borer Kedarkoi means that you can even take the psoles from the oichel. Says there's much more oichel than there's psoilus. You have a large piece of fish and you have a couple of bones, or you have a large piece of watermelon, you have some seeds. So then says Basil, take it kedarki, take out the bones, take out the pits. If you're talking about a situation where there's more psoilus than there's oichel, take out the oichel and leave the psoilus behind, because the Gemara is assuming that that's the lesser of the tirchais. So then even Beisil would agree, like Beishamai. Beishamai said, always bar oichel, the oichel. In this case, Beisil would also agree, take out the oichel, don't take out the psoilus, because there's much more psoilus than there is oichel. Freit the Gemara, psoilus meruba la oichel, mi'ikaman the shari. So now, the question of the Gemara is not talking about the selection of the psoilus or the oichel, but rather, if you're talking about a plate that has more psoilus than oichel on it, shouldn't the whole thing be muktza? There's just so much psoilus, nobody would want to eat from it, and therefore, stay away. If you look at the second Rashi, right after the Mishnah, about 10-12 lines in, Mi'ik command the shari, even to just move it, even to be, it's a muktza. The miut of oichel will be bottled to the roiv of the psoilus. As if the whole dish is just full of psoilus. It's not even roi. I don't even know what Rabbi Gamliel is talking about. Ever the Gemara, no. Loitzricha, the nofish betircha, the zutta b'shiura. Avada, we're talking about that there's all more ochel than there's psoilus. That Rabbi Gamliel said. He doesn't mean physically that there's more psoilus than oichel. If there's more psoilus than oichel, then the whole thing is muktza, because people are not going to even want to look at it. However, what did Ram Gamliel mean? He means that there's more tircha to remove the psoilus from the oichel, because the psoilus is such small, fine, little psoilus in. To go and remove all of that, it's much more of a tircha than just taking the oichel mitoicha psoilus. So what Ram Gamliel is more concerned about is not the volume as is the tircha. How much trouble is it going to be for me to take out one from the other? So when we say within the Mishnah, you take the psoilus from the oichel, that's because it was easier to extract the psoilus from the oichel. However, if in fact it's easier to go and take out the oichel, he may still would agree to take out the oichel from the psoilus. Tani, Omer Blosim Reb Tzadik, Kachal Yimin Hagen Shul Beis Ram Gamliel. I remember, I was there, I saw the Minigam Beis Ram Gamliel. So you may be in Dli, then we're going to bring a whole bucket full, Moli Adashim, full of lentils, and we tif an Olam Mayim, then they would pour water into that bucket, then Imta Oichal Lamata, Upsayas Lamala. All of the outside shells and chaff and whatever would flow to the top, and I remember that the lentils would stay on the bottom, and that would be a very effective way of separating one for the other. But there's another price that says that in the Beis Ram Gamliel they did it the other way around. Other way around meaning that it was the psoilus that fell to the bottom instead of going and floating to the top. It depends what type of service you're talking about. If you're talking about that the adash and the lentils had a lot of shmutz around them in the terms of sand and dirt and that type of stuff, then when you put it into the dli, the offer falls to the bottom, and it's the adashim that, if you will, stay towards the top. On the other hand, begili means like you have straw or you have chaff, that type of material that floats. Oh, that's what Rabbi Elazar Rav Tzadik was talking about, that with the gili, with the straw, that floats to the top. But the offer, in fact, settles to the bottom. Next Mishnah. If you want to go and send your a present to your friend on Yontif, you have to send him foods which you can eat immediately. This word monois reminds us of Purim, when you're sending shlach monois, that it has to be food which is edible and not food that you have to prepare. Therefore, it's got to be fertig, a final product. That's you can go and send him. Says, no, you don't send him anything that is edible on Yontif, even though it's not immediately edible. We're talking about Behem Chayv Oif. You have to, if they are chai and you can't eat them yet, you're going to have to shech them. But that's fine, because you want to send someone a present on Yontif. As long as it's usable on Yontif, no problem. You can go and send it. However, but not tvua, because tvua you can't use on Yontif, because the tvua you're going to have to go and grind it up, and you're not allowed to do the grinding of the tvua on Yontif. Why can't you do the grinding of the tvua?
You could have done an
Erev Yontif. You should have flour. Reb Shimon matav tvua. Reb Shimon said, no, even tvua you can go and do on Yontif. How, says Reb Shimon? So you have Rashi over here that tells us that you can go and put it into water first. You see Rashi at the end of the Mishnah, a couple of lines higher than when we are in the Gemara. Reb Shimon matav tvua, shemi vashlein bikdeira, v'yakachin b'machteshes ketana. What you can do is, so you shouldn't have a tircha yaseirim, and to make a shinoi, what you can do is take the tvua and first boil it in water. As a result, that's going to make it much, much softer. Good. And then yichdashem, it'll be much easier to go and smash it with a machteshes katana. You'll still be doing the shinoi. And therefore, you can prepare tvua. You can go make chalas out of it, or make bread or anything out of it on Yontif, but you can go make it into some sort of farina, or you can make it into chmais, into kneblach, into lokshin, something else which is a cooked thing as opposed to a baked thing, because the baking you'd have to have, it should be flour. Anyway, so we have the machlok b'shami and b'sil, how far reaching can you send food items? Does it have to be immediately edible, or is it something that can be prepared by the recipient? Tani Rav Yechiel. Rav Yechiel says, this idea of sending presents is a wonderful thing. But don't make a gan teshura. Don't make a whole parade out of it. Because you make a parade, says Rashi, it's avshemiltza. Avshemiltza means there's a lot of public attention, and therefore that could ruin the spirit of Yontif. It sounds like you're sending a whole delegation. Rashi says, nira kimoylichen limkar bashuk. It's as if you have a wholesaler who's sending all of his salesmen to the shuk to go and spread out all of their wares and to go and sell all of these foods. That's not, if you do betzniyas, you send one person with one mana, that's fine. Multiple people. And the question is, how many is a shura? Shura means 2 people, 5 people, 20 people. Tan ein shura b'chusa mishloish b'neyot. Up to 2, you're fine. But once you get to 3 or more, then it's avshemiltza. It sounds like you're sending a delegation to the marketplace. Boy Ravashi, tlosa gabi utlosa mini mai. What happens if you sent 3 people, but each one was only carrying 1 min? One was carrying a bottle of wine. One was taking some beans. And somebody else was taking a shemen. Each one was doing one item only. Maybe this would be okay, because since each one, says Rashi, independently, if I only sent one of them with a bottle of wine, that would be fine. If I only sent one person with beans, that would be fine. It's just a combination of the people, but each one is only taking one item. So maybe that's okay. Mai, tibur teiku, tishbi yatarit. See, if you look at the Rashi, mai, again, parallel to our Gemara, mai. Miyaz linan, vasa kol minu min. Bishari, after all, each min is one individual min, so that's one thing is okay. Ki hech liyachal mishloyach ish echadim kol min. Ze, beloy ze. If I just send Yanko with the wine, that would be fine. Just barrel with the beans, it would be fine. But bottom line is three people are going, so even though each one is only taking one item, a delegation of three is prohibited. So now the Gemara is going to tell us the practicality of what Rashi said about cooking in a pot and then going and smashing it. Machteshes kana says Gemara Tanya Reb Shimon Mati Betvua going to chitim lasis man ludiyos. Not to go and bake a cake or to go and bake a challah, but to make ludios, as Rashi, machal chitim, some sort of wheat, probably a farina or a cereal of some sort. So oyrim litel if they behem toy, you can go and take that soyrim and cook it and pound it and give it to your behema. Now, are you allowed to go and cook and prepare food for behema on yontif? Is that permissible?
Lechem.
Oh, what does it say? Lechem veloy.
Oh.
It says in the pasuk, "Asher acha sheyochel l'chol nefesh hu levadi yosu lechem." And Barry's reminding us, isn't there a gemara that says somewhere, "Lechem v'lo l'klavecha"? You can't do it for behemoth. And here it says you can. What's going on? Oy vavoy. So in fact, there's a machlokes whether you're allowed to do it for behemoth, and it also depends on which type of the behemoth. What do I mean? So we haven't learned it yet, but I'm yet to show we're going to get to it. Sorry, once again.
Lechem is a domesticated.
Very good. Wild animals or domesticated animals. So if you look at the top of Chof Aleph Amid Beis, Chof Aleph Amid Beis, 21b, at the very top, it says in the pasuk, Lechem, v'loy l'klavim. You can't go and prepare food on yontif for dogs. The Rav Yosef Lili. Rav Akiva Omer, afilu nefesh behema b'mashva. When it says in the pasuk, Acha sheyi ochel lechol nefesh hu levadi yosel lechem nefesh, sounds like a behemah as well, and therefore you are allowed to prepare for behemah. You can prepare for yourself and prepare for your animals, but you can't go prepare for a guy. Why for your animals and not for a guy? Because you have a responsibility, just like you have a responsibility for your household, for your family members. You have a responsibility for your animals. If you have a dog at home, you got to feed the dog. They're independent. They can do, you know, they can go cook for themselves. They can go buy. They can cook. They can do whatever they want. So therefore, you have no obligation to feed them on yatav. So what do I see from this? We have Machlokes Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva says, even the club. And Rabbi Yosef Glili says, Lechem v'loy l'klavim. So getting back to our Gemara now.
Shimon was a student of Rabbi Kiva.
Yeah, exactly. So therefore, says our Gemara, that when it says over here, so only from Nebuchadnezzar, I'm telling you, this would be in accordance with Rabbi Kiva, that you're allowed to go and prepare food even for behemoths on Yatav.
Can you have the Kenyan beforehand? How is this issue?
What are you referring to?
I'm saying in general, if you're in a Shabbos, they talk about it, if you give a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
If you do it before Shabbos.
Can you talk about being a Kenyan?
Yeah.
There is a problem of making a Kenyan in Shabbos for Yontif, but you can go and give it to him. Sorry, halva, if you will.
Yeah, the Chenvenis bring out their rats, their windows.
Yeah.
And they would let people take stuff on Yontif and make a chesed afterward.
So, but Brother Shai is asking, isn't there a prohibition about making an acquisition being kona? Besides the fact that mekachol memkar, yeah, he didn't mention the price. He's going to tell you a week later. But the point is, in their problem of acquisition. So there are people, in fact, that give you the matana before Shabbos or before Yontif, or they say, I'm giving it to now, you can use it, but the matana will only be chal after Shabbos or after Yontif. So you can go and give it to him, not potatoes matana. You don't have to say it explicitly. It's understood that that's what he means.
You can use it. You consume it on Shabbos and Yontif. How can the kid be chal ice Shabbos and ice Yontif? It's gone. It's not in the world anymore.
If you're going to, for instance, a home on Seder night, so there's some people that are makbid, because we learned the Gemara, if you remember, although it doesn't say matzah schem,
but you give a penny, you give him some sort of acquisition, so you own some of the matzahs.
Right. So here it says lechem oini, and it says the gabe, the chala, it says reishis harisei seichem, chala tribe truma, their oats is used expression, lechem. So therefore, just like lechem is reishis harisei seichem, it's got to be yours. So you learn lechem oini, their oats has to be yours. Some people are go to the extent of being makkah, they go and pay in advance, they give him a few pennies, they give him a quarter, whatever. Just like some people, they will go and give for the Havlokas Neiris and Erev Shabbos, they will also pay you if you're staying at somebody's house and you're not lighting your own candles, that they light candles, you'll be have you are mishatif. However, most people are not makkah in that, because even though there's a din that you can't steal it, but if he allows you to eat from it, so he's saying, I'm giving it to you, I'm not giving it to you, it's matana mitakinyan, but I'm allowing you to eat it, you have full utility of it. So I'm giving you the money that you have utility, I'm not giving it as a present per se, but you can use it to the nth degree. Anyway, these types of shahs, we have to look more into the mafarshim in more detail. But bottom line is, you're allowed to go and send these things. And a dash of lentils, what are you going to do? Lentils? Well, last is mehen resisin. What says resisin? Says Rashi, a machel made out of lentils, some sort of lentil stew, lentil cereal, whatever. So they would cook it and then put a machteshes ktana. Zok the Mishnah. Mishalch and Kalim. The word Kalim over here really means begotten, clothing. You're allowed to send your friend clothing on Yontif. Then Bein Tfurim, Sai if it's tougher, Sai means that it's nicely sewed up and he can use it as a shirt, as a pants, whatever. Bein Chenin Tfurim, even if it's just a fabric without it being sewn. And the Gemara is going to ask, what can you use unsewn fabric for on Yontif? Sorry?
Like a toga.
Toga, okay, we'll see. The Alpha P Shiesh Ben Kalim, even if it has shotness.
Wow.
Even shotness, you can't use shotness. Yeah. I'm always going to ask, what are you talking about? And of course, in each case, in the Tzorech HaMoed, all the begonim were talking about things that he can use on Yontif. Because to use it for Chayil, send it on Chayil. Don't go and send on Yontif things that he's not going to use on Yontif. Avaloi Sandal Masumri. You can't send a Sandal Masumri. Sandal Masumri means that you have nails sticking out. But this is really not so much because of Moed, but because of a Master Shehoyim. You remember we had this Gemara on Shabbos.
It was hiding in the cave.
They were hiding in the cave, and then they heard noises, and everybody started coming out, and then Nebuchadnezzar trampled other people with the nails on the bottom of their shoes, and Nebuchadnezzar, a lot of people never got killed. So you're not supposed to wear sandals to someone. So Chari, this is even during the week. So Mitchum will see the Gemara tomorrow. Also, don't go and send a shoe which is not finished yet, because it's not finished, as Rashi, you can't wear it. So it's just you're wasting the guy's time and efforts by giving this medal. So don't send it on Yom Tov, send it during the week. Rabbi Yudayim Afli Minalavan. Also, don't send white shoes when they should tzarech uman, because it still needs to be polished. Rashi says people didn't wear white shoes at that time. Apparently, Rashi is saying in my time, in times of Rashi, maybe people were wearing white shoes, and we know today you have all types of funny things when it comes to clothing and shoes. So, since people only wear black shoes, and you can't just go put on shoe polish on a white shoe and make it black, and you don't know when you're a professional that's going to paint it and make it into a nice black shoe. So, therefore, don't send that on Yontif. Zeh klal. The general rule is a simple one. If you can use it on Yontif, mishal chenoyt. But if you can't use it, then don't send it on Yontif. Send it during the week. So, Mishloim tfurim. We said at the beginning of the Mishnah, you can go and send tfurim. Einem tfurim. Ba'alv b'shiyesh ben kelayim. So you have three categories. Mishloim tfurim, chazal malach. That fits within the klal. You can wear it. I sent him a shirt. I sent him pants. I sent him a suit. You can wear it. It's good. She'ein tfurim. What can he use those for? Nami chaz lechsuyeh. Although he can't use it for wearing, he can use it as a blanket. He can use it as a sheet. Right? It's a long piece of fabric. They didn't cut it down. They didn't even make a toga out of it yet. It's totally unprocessed fabric. In other words, unprocessed, didn't make it into a baguette. So use it as a cup. El kalayim my chazul, can use it what can you shot this for? Now, certainly you can't use it as a blanket or a sheet, because it said in the pasuk, "Uveged kelayim shatnes lo yale olach." You can't put it on top of you, but maybe chazal meimachtuse. Maybe I can put it underneath me, like for a cushion, and it'll be nice and soft and cuddly, and I lie on top of it. So, Tanya, we learned that the brayshit lo yale olach. So min ha-toir avat yochlo et tzio tachtecha. You're allowed to go and spread it out underneath you min ha-toir. Av omru chachomim also lasis came. Shemetichach lo nima al psoroi. Because, and like any fabric, you might have some threads which are hanging, dangling threads, a loose thread, and then when you're lying on top of this blanket or on top of this begin made out of shatnez, by accident, maybe a couple of those threads are going to go on top of you, and then you'll have the problem of l'yala lecha. So therefore the Chum said, that was the
stipler.
Chzanish is shvoga the stipler, right. I have a good idea. I'm going to go and put down this beggar of shatness on the ground because it's nice and soft and cuddly. And on top of that, I'll put another sheet which is made out of cotton, so I won't have a problem. In other words, look, even though there's no possibility in normal existence that a thread is going to come on top of 10 matzois, nevertheless, look, don't do it. So how can a person use a shatnez fabric? He could use it as a curtain. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I need an extra shower curtain, or I need a curtain between the kitchen and the dining room. And make a shatnez, you know, nobody wears a curtain, so no problem. You just made a faulty premise. You stated a faulty premise. Is aloha that vilon can be mekabel tumah. The chayyah, there's no reason why it should be mekabel tumah. It's not a kli, it's not a beged, it's not an ochel, it's not a person. Why would it be mekabel tumah? Says the Gemara, says ulam neisha hashamis mischamim kenegdei. Sometimes the waiter, when he is waiting on the tables, it may be a little bit chilly, it may be a little cold, and you know what he does? Sometimes he goes over to the vilon and he kind of snuggles himself up in that vilon for 5 or 10 seconds or half a minute, try to get a little bit of warmth. Oh, so you see, even a feline is susceptible to be a beged. So even that you're not allowed to l'choy make out of shatnez. Ellis anymore, bekashin. Bekashin means very, very thick, coarse material, says the top Rashi. Begodim kashin. She'ein mechavimim mutalei shevalein. If they're really hard shatnez, not the type of shatnez that offers any warmth at all, it's hard material, then that's permissible.
How could it be hard? It's woolen linen.
Like a seat of a train.
Like a seat of a train. Oh.
No, so, but how hard could it be? It's woolen linen. Wool is a fabric, linen is a fabric.
What happens if they put some chemicals on it to stiffen it up, and now it's hard as a rock?
Okay,
all right. Rabuna Barei Rabbi Yeshua Hainamta Gamda Denarosh Sharya Namta Gamda, says Rashi, is Namta is the name of felt. Rashi says Namta Levad Shekoirin or Levad Shekoirin Felt Rabalaz, which in English is felt, and felt is Gamda Kosher. Something which shrinks and shrivels becomes hard. So you have hard felt material, Sharia, and it comes from Narish. Narish is the name of a place. All the people in Narish were Narish mentioned. There, Sharia, that's mutri, you're allowed to go and sit on that type of material because it's hard like a rock. It doesn't offer any warmth. The same thing applies to ardalin. What are ardalin? Rashi says this is something that you put on the bottom of the sole or the heel of your shoe. On the bottom of the sole, the heel of your shoe, you added an extra strip made out of wool and linen together because of the fact that that does not add any warmth to the body. It's underneath the shoe. That's mutter, that's permissible. No didakalai. Omarova, hani tsurori de pshiti ein behemishim kalayim. De bizroni yesh behemishim kalayim. Tsurori means a wallet or a purse. De pshiti, now the wallet itself was made out of kalayim. It says on top of it, this has not been shatnez tested, because in fact there is linen and wool in the fabric of this purse. Now if you use the purse for pshiti, for coins, ein behemishim kalayim. Because if you put that, for instance, in your vest pocket, you put it into your pants pocket or something, it doesn't make your that part of the body any warmer. It makes it heavier, but it doesn't make it any warmer. The bizroni, however, if you put in seeds which add warmth inside such a purse, yeshvim shem kalayim, then there would be a din of shatnez. Why? Because when you put that close to your body, it does give you a little bit of body warmth. Oh, that's prohibited. Ravashi Omer Echazeb Yechazen Memshim Kalayim. If he should derachim, come on, give me a break. The person wants to go and warm himself up. He puts on a sweater. He doesn't go and take purses full of seats. So therefore, since it's ein derachimum, the whole issur of shatness is as you're wearing it or you're covering yourself with it, and not when you're carrying a purse inside your pocket. If that adds warmth, mazel tov, but that's not the issur of kilayim of shatness.
I thought the issur of kilayim is hana. Why are we limiting it to chimum? I mean, if it gives you hana,
what's the hana?
We're saying it's only bodily hana is warmth. That's the strict definition of okay.
According to Agamar, that's right. Exactly.